Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Monday, the 15th of August. First up, Amazon goes nuclear on Rings of Power critics. They even targeted Jeremy's channel.
It's Monday. I know that's not always awesome. This week's going to be pretty nuts. I'm moving, but I'm going to try to maintain my regularly scheduled programming for all of you. I might have to take Friday off. We'll see. The first weekday I've taken off in maybe ever. I can't think of I've ever done it before, but the Rings of Power going on lockdown, turning on fans now, starting with the fake garbage narratives about bigoted fans and fans that don't like the skin color of certain actors and actresses with absolutely zero evidence, and the official Rings of Power Twitter account. I've had zero interaction with them ever. They blocked me. I happened to just look at it. And I was like, oh, hey, here's a tweet somebody retweeted from the Rings of Power. Blocked. Already blocked. You just love to see it. Now, there's been a lot of memes going around about the Rings of Power. Of course, the CW meme, which is pretty hilarious. This one by Perry Chan does a lot of funny video editing. You see the One Ring writing, how to win over fans. One, when you change Token's history and characters, keep deflecting and then tell them you love Token. Two, when fans point out your changes, call them racist trolls. What a winning strategy. We'll look at this article too. But here is the main actress, the actress who plays Galadriel, you know, the Captain Marvel of the series, basically, posting a couple of things to her Instagram yesterday. Morfid Clark writes, anyone sending hate to my black castmates, get off my page and get off the internet and shut up. Come on. You gotta clap. All right, well, hit the like button at least. And subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is gonna be an absolute dumpster fire. This was posted yesterday to her Instagram. No evidence of any of this kind of stuff. And it's exactly like the garbage articles with Kelly Marie Tran, where, the Star Wars said, oh, Kelly Marie Tran was ran off the internet because of all these trolls who had a problem with her race and all these people who had a problem with her being a woman. Never once posted any reasonable amount of examples. Now, do I think that there is a message? You know, am I saying that a message doesn't exist that said something heinous to her? I'm sure it does. But did it come from the fandom? Are you using a broad brush to paint the entire fandom with it? Because that's what Star Wars did, and it did not go well for them. And then she posted this. You can see Stefan posting this. This is also from her Instagram. Looks like Rings of Power is taking a page from Lucasfilm. Can't wait to see how this plays out. And there's this video that has one of the characters from their Entertainment Weekly photo shoot thing that they did. And it's like, it just tells them, you know, whoever did this to F off. I mean, you know, no evidence whatsoever of anything like that happening. Let's see if it's not, I don't know why it's not playing, but essentially the character just like says, F, you know, to F off or something like that. I mean, like, that's exactly what Lucasfilm did when people didn't like The Last Jedi, when people criticized not Kelly Marie Tran, because nobody had a problem with Kelly Marie Tran, beautiful, talented actress. Her character, however, oh, here goes. You could see who made this. And then it says, shut the F up. I mean, I'm assuming that's to the haters. The haters. But, you know, Kelly Marie Tran's character sucked. There's no doubt about it. She was a garbage character that was given, you know, put in really dumb situations. And, but none of that was Kelly Marie Tran's fault. There are a lot of dumb characters in Star Wars, let's be honest. But they pushed her out there for, you know, like she was going to be some star, and they gave her a bunch of lines and they sucked. You can see it reminds me of Ghostbusters 2016 cast. Y'all pathetic, misogynistic man babies. Also 2016 cast effort at tanks. People hate females in the lead roles. I mean, yes, normies will still watch this. Here's Lord of the Rings on Prime, verified account, blocked. I'm blocked. I've never even interacted with this account. No, that's fine. They can block whoever they want. I noticed somebody tagged me in this tweet. The cast of Rings of Power sat down to talk to Time Magazine. Read the full story. We will read some of it because, of course, I love how they just attack. Anybody who doesn't like it is a bigot, right? You see a lot of these replies to the, I mean, and just anytime they post anything online, they're getting completely dunked on. You see some stand, here's happy account, here's let's go, here's something that, I don't know, looks like a romance. You know, Celebrimbor, here you have. I mean, there's not a lot of hate. There's really not a lot. Haters fear this cast, do they? I mean, this means that all the non-white people in Middle Earth were killed off between the second and third age. Yeah, there's not a, wait, what? When does Game of Thrones start? You could see Ismael Cruz Cordova previously said and spoke the truth. We're all creating something new. That's why this series will fail. They've dishonored the author and the work, creating something they wanted to create instead of making a faithful adaptation that fans could enjoy. Stop putting this on my feed. I'm not interested. I'm assuming they're doing promotion for it. Days of Our Lives reboot is what it looks like. I mean, 3 out of 5, more than half of the cast presented here, playing characters that have nothing to do with Tolkien, TV's hubris, biggest hubris. I mean, there is started to be, you know, it started to go kind of sideways. And you see this article in Time. Hold on a second. Let me check this article in Time Magazine, see if it's out there. I don't want them to change anything. So we got to make sure that they, you know, that we have an archive version of it. Because that often happens. You know, they change things and then they pretend like they stealth edit things. They pretend like they never said what they said. That's why I always use archives. And you can see, essentially, this is a huge fluff piece. But if we go here, you could see, and then there's real life trolls who take issue with the fact that Cordova, a black Puerto Rican man, is playing an elf. Why does it make you a racist to point out that that's ridiculous? I don't understand. It is ridiculous. It's like people pointing out, you know, originally when John Boyega was cast out as a stormtrooper, with, we didn't have all the information at the time, but, you know, stormtroopers are supposed to be clones, and it was like, well, how did you end up with a black clone? It didn't make sense until you had more context. But then anybody that said anything about that at that time was also called racist. Why? Reasons? Like, reasons? And that young Galadriel doesn't appear feminine because she does, because she wears armor. Payne and Tolkien quote at the ready about trolls. Quote, creatures of dull and lumpish nature that have no more language than beasts, Weber is more direct. We're all up for criticism, she says. We're not up for racism. Well, here's the thing. When you call all criticism racism, then you're not really up for any kind of criticism, are you? Galadriel actor Morfydd Clark, who broke out in 2019 with his Dark Materials, an indie film, Saint Maud, never heard of either one of them, casts a skeptical eye on complaints about her character. The Galadriel we met in Jackson's films, played by Cate Blanchett, is a serene elder stateswoman nearing retirement, but Clark's version is more youthful and stubborn. Clark, 32, who speaks with Welsh lit and bears a striking resemblance to Blanchett, wants to explore how Galadriel evolves as she ages, and center of the journey has been a male-dominated story. I didn't read the books and think, I wish there were more female characters, just because I took it as given, and that's the way things were, she said. I'm standing on the shoulders of women who spilt metaphorical blood to get this point. I hope young people should they watch this will think, This is just the way things are. So you want to rewrite history? Cordova also knew something was missing from the Jackson films he adored. He grew up in a small mountain town in Puerto Rico, harbored a childhood dream of playing an elf. I didn't see myself represented. And when I said I wanted to be an elf, people said, "Elves don't look like you," he says. When I heard about the character on the show, it felt like a mission. Did you really say that? That just seems completely made up. I knew since I was a small child that I always wanted to play an elf. Did you? Cordova was initially rejected for the role several times, but the actor has appeared on shows like Ray Donovan, The Undoing, auditioned again and again over 7 months. When he finally got the call that he'd landed the role, news dispatched to him in secret code, of course, he screamed for joy in the streets of New York City. I mean, good for you. You know, nothing I never have anything personal against these actors. And maybe he'll play a fantastic elf, but elves aren't black. That's just the reality. Now, both are fake. So people can say, well, you know, and neither are dragons, allegedly. Fair. That's fair. But we know why Amazon cast the way that it did. And we know exactly what's coming next. We're going to have these more and more actors. Then we're going to get the stories about how the main actress is suffering all sorts of mean comments sent to them. And maybe one of them will quit social media. And there'll be a bunch of articles about that, because that's what they did with Star Wars. They sent her out on this, like, woe is me tour. And it was one of the most fake, obvious publicity stunts I'd ever seen in my life. Even last night, I basically busted a fake bot network demanding positive reviews, which we'll talk about in a different view today. This is all marketing dollars that they're spending. And I, for one, absolutely cannot wait for the huge mess that this show is going to be.
And next up today, J.K. Rowling has life threatened and Twitter refuses to ban the man. Here is the real reason.
Interesting news story popped up over the weekend involving J.K. Rowling. Now, you've noticed her name has been in the news for many times lately as a far lefty herself, clashing with those even further left than her over one particular issue, and that is the erasure of women. J.K. Rowling has spoken out several times, over this kind of, women in sport, biological men competing in women's sports, things that are widely accepted as, pretty base takes. But now she's, we've got local law enforcement involved and an open threat on her life for the act of expressing concern over what happened to the author Salman Rushdie, who is best known, of course, for his novel back in the late 80s called The Satanic Verses, which is widely considered one of the most controversial books ever. It really angered the Muslim community, and he basically, years later, 30 years later, still carrying out this attack was somebody who, tried to end his life. And J.K. Rowling decided, I'm going to speak out against this. And, another very peaceful person decided to say something on Twitter. Harry Potter film studio Warner Brothers has condemned threats sent to J.K. Rowling from Iran supporting Terry, who tweeted, "You are next," in response to her support for Salman Rushdie. Ms. Rowling, 57, received this harrowing threat from Mir Asif Aziz, based in Karachi, who described himself on Twitter as a student, social activist, and political activist and research activist. Wow. A lot of activism. Harry Potter and free speech campaigner, writer and free speech campaigner said, who had been pilloried by trans activists for her beliefs on gender, that it's real, has expressed her horror at the attempt on Rushdie's life in upstate New York when she was issued the chilling threat on Twitter. Police have now said they are investigating a report of this threat made against the author, and officers are carrying out inquiries. And today, Warner Brothers also gave its support to Ms. Rowling adding that it stands by the author and creators who bravely express their creativity and opinions. A statement added, Warner Brothers strongly condemns the statements against J.K. Rowling. We stand with her and all authors, storytellers, and creators who bravely express their creativity and opinions. WBD believes in freedom of expression, peaceful discourse, and supporting those who offer their views in public arena. Our thoughts are with Sir Salman Rushdie and his family following the senseless act in New York. The company strongly condemns any form of threat or intimidation when opinions, beliefs, and thoughts might differ. It comes after the CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery said in May that he would meet with Ms. Rowling to discuss the new Harry Potter content amid a slew of rapid-fire changes meant to cut costs and gin up revenue. David Zaslav, 62, took over the company in April and has already ruffled feathers with his no-nonsense approach. Here's a picture of the hero. Here's the tweet. You know, feeling very sick right now. Let him be okay. This is, of course, talking, you know, to Salman. And then you have about Salman. And you see this guy. Don't worry, you're next. Twitter, of course. The name of this man is blah blah. He's a revolutionary fighter. So he's a legitimate threat. You know, Twitter. These are guidelines, right? Like. Now, of course, we see after reviewing the available information, we determined that there were no violations. So Twitter refused to ban this person who issued a threat to J.K. Rowling. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Like, what? Aziz has also previously made, quote, tasteless, quote, jokes on how to go after Israel, branding Putin savage Ukraine, and has labeled the country of Pakistan's chief geopolitical rival, Terry States. These aren't jokes. You get that, right? Ms. Rowling has revealed that after reporting the threat to Twitter's social media network concluded that it didn't violate any of their rules. The email from Twitter read, as we said, the 57-year-old posted a screenshot of a response commenting, these are your guidelines, right? You may not threaten people. Aziz also appears to support the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Don't Care, who frequently rants about Israel in deranged, horrible tweets. In one of his one posts, he talked about other things that, you know, again, this person's still on Twitter, you know. And responding to another tweet from Iranian dictator, dear leader, your struggle for Islamic world will not be wasted until we young generation are with you. He sounds like he's real joking, right? Rowling 57 had posted last night about what happened to Rushdie, saying it was horrifying news, feeling sick right now, let him be okay. But the guy then, Aziz, who had described the attacker as a revolutionary Shia fighter, then threatened, don't worry, you are next. In a bid to get Aziz booted off Twitter, Rowling yesterday afternoon posted at Twitter support. Any chance? I would want more than Twitter support. Like, I want people at this dude's door. And now, if it happened in the United States, they would probably just give him the tools to do what he wants to do, and then pretend that they were shocked when he did it, and then say, "Well, he was on our radar." Now, Rowling has confirmed that police are involved, telling all our followers, to all of you sending supportive messages, thank you. Police are involved. We're already involved on other issues. Mailline has contacted Twitter for comment. Rowling and horror writer Stephen King are among the authors and notable faces voicing disbelief after Rushdie had his incident, including, you know, everything that was really bad. The Indian-born British author, whose writing led to unprecedented threats from Iran in the 80s, was to deliver a lecture in Shatikwa Institution when the incident occurred, leaving him with, you know, all sorts of bad things that happened. Here's the person who called him brave. Salute you. No. Like, this guy is not joking. And, you know, I don't know if you want to, like, if you want to start jailing people for tweets. But certainly they do in the UK. I don't think that you could call this a joke. I mean, this is a pretty direct threat. And, like, also, it's absolutely abhorrent pathetic, disgusting, that Twitter would refuse to remove the tweet or ban the person. This is also the very same company, I'll have a video on this actually later today, that had Saudi employees doxing users on their platform and sending it back to the Saudi government in exchange for fancy watches. Twitter doesn't care about your safety. They don't care about their own rules that they put into place. And if J.K. Rowling can't get them to enforce the rules, you know that it probably, you know, I can't know this for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was some woke Twitter employee that was like, oh, well, she's a TERF, so she deserves it. Type of, you know, like some scenario like that. Because that's how a lot of these like lunatic SJWs talk. I mean, this is how they talk on Twitter openly, because they know they're not actually in any danger of having to live up to the same rules as the rest of us. Now you have Scotland's police involved in the situation. We know, I guess, who this guy is. You know, this is they're investigating the threat made against her after she tweeted support. There is almost certainly Muslim followers and viewers of my videos, and so, you know, and I've spoken with many of them, and I don't believe in throwing an entire religion under the bus like that. Like, I know people talk about, oh, the religion appeases up to it again. You know, this is a small percentage of it. That said, you know, you wonder if it feels like the community doesn't rein these people in enough. It just feels that way. Maybe I'm wrong. With so many people agreeing with the behavior and so many people, you know, supporting it, it's just a, you know, bad look for these people. And I feel bad for them because, you know, most of them, I would assume, are, you know, a religion. Maybe they were born into it or whatever the case is. But as of right now, this is the only major religion where this kind of stuff keeps happening. I would assume it's up to that community to police this and to get it under control. Outsiders certainly don't have any control over it. This guy, after what happened with Rushdie in New York, that was a dude that was, you know, wasn't even alive when the guy wrote the book, or barely alive when he wrote the book in 88 or whatever the book came out. They waited all this time to get into heaven or whatever, however he justified it to himself, deranged individual. I would like to steer clear of painting an entire group of people a certain way, and focus more on, it's interesting that the way the media reports on stuff, it seems like one particular religion gets a pass all the time, and it's messed up.
And next up, Disney claims She-Hulk will take on incels and also disparage Tony Stark as Iron Man.
Disney Plus has had a lot to talk about kind of over the past couple of days or weeks. They've got a big show release coming up in She-Hulk, but this is a show that's pretty targeted, I think, to Zoomers and adults who think like Zoomers. It may just be kind of a good-natured show, but we've also started to see some interesting things, including essentially taking shots at Iron Man, talking about incel energy, and all sorts of weird cringe stuff that, look, if Disney tells me, hey, this show is not for you, cool, I understand. Who exactly is it for? Man-hating women? I suppose you might have a decent audience there. Man-hating men? I suppose maybe too. But it's just more woke garbage, as could have been predicted from a mile away. Now, let's start with what is kind of a desperation move. Disney is advertising She-Hulk on Tinder. That's right. Throughout many trailers with promos, Marvel She-Hulk, two things have been made clear. Jennifer Walters is a lawyer suddenly tasked with handling superhuman-related cases, and she's not terribly good at having a dating life. Oh, golly gee. San Diego Comic-Con say the attorney at law opened up a hotline for those in need, and now she's got herself a very own Tinder profile. If you've got Tinder, you've got a chance that her profile may pop up in your list of potential partners. Lest you get too excited thinking there'd be someone to DM, the profile will just straight up tell you this is an ad for the show, complete with a stock image of Jen that you've seen in months up to the release, and should you match, you can't actually respond to them. It's a shame that it's a bit only surface level and that the profile isn't used to convey any of the personality for Jen, but it's still a clever way to draw eyes on the show. Is it though? I'm not exactly sure that, like, you know. Here's the actual profile. She-Hulk, about me. I know what you're thinking, but this can't be real. But guess what? It's not. But suspend your disbelief for 1 second and pretend you just matched with She-Hulk. Excited? Find out who she does match with. She-Hulk Attorney at Law, streaming August 18th on Disney Plus. Seriously, she goes on dates. What? I knew we'd be a match. There's plenty to love in She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Lawyers, Hulks, cameos, dating, happy hours, yoga, magic, and fashion. The list goes on. Now stop reading this. Message your match below and set up a date to watch She-Hulk Attorney at Law. Gah! Oh, what were they thinking? Who is this for? Men? I imagine that She-Hulk matches with just about anybody who would take it on, I guess. What? What? Okay. Now, She-Hulk doesn't have, what's interesting is, currently, we don't have any critic reviews of She-Hulk. Now, let's all make a prediction together. Okay, let's all come together here and make a little prediction. I'm going to say that it will be a 92%. 92% critic rating. 63% fan. So 90 to 60. There is absolutely, I would be shocked if the audience score came anywhere near the critic score. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong. I just say that's why it's a prediction. It'll be kind of fun. So maybe put your predictions in the comment section down below. And while you're down there, click that red subscribe button. Now, here's an interesting twist on the show too. It reminds, so there's new a teaser that came out, but also Disney Plus to include Tony Stark wannabe in She-Hulk show. The official Disney Plus production briefing for She-Hulk, I keep wanting to say Sue-Hulk, sorry Sue, at Law, shares new information on one Jennifer Walters' online dating suitors, who goes by the name of Todd. Oh, she uses online dating just like me? Oh, that's so cool. Todd is described as one of Jen's worst dating experiences, with Baywatch star John Bass playing the role in the series. Baywatch star? What? As shared by Disney Plus and described by Bass himself, Todd tries to pass himself off as a Tony Stark wannabe, but he usually comes across as a total creep as he pops up throughout the series. Todd is a billionaire, playboy, philanthropist, douchebag who wants more than anything to feel like Tony Stark, but comes off as John Bass. He's used to getting whatever he wants, but he's a total creep. Who starts up popping everywhere. Oh, I love, I mean, like, let's have more annoying men in television shows. We've got to have that. I mean, we can all relate to that, right? Creepy guys. Am I right, girls? Co-producer Wendy Jacobson shared how funny Bass is in the role, especially with him playing this terrible person. While the character is mostly harmless, the show highlights the idea of having someone in Jen's life who just keeps showing up at random places unexpectedly. Doesn't that all happen to all of us? John Bass is so funny, and he's so good at playing this terrible person. It's really fun to watch. The character of Todd plays the social commentary of misogyny and incel culture and the unfair views of women. Incel culture? Oh my God, sign me up! I'm sure all the terminally single, widely colored haired, certified film critics of Rotten Tomatoes couldn't possibly relate to blaming all men for why they're still eternally single. He's annoying, but mostly harmless. And it's really about embodying these awkward interactions you have with someone when they keep showing up in your life over and over again. John Bass's breakout moment is when the industry came with his role as Ronnie in Baywatch. Did anybody see that movie? Where he started alongside Black Adam megastar Dwayne Johnson and Spider-Man No Way Home's Hannibal Buress. Now, he gets to make his MCU debut in She-Hulk, but he also gets to bring up his own unique take on Tony Stark that will leave a different impression on fans and Robert Downey Jr. Now, let me ask you, is it possible, am I crazy to think that perhaps, this is them using this character to like disparage Iron Man, disparage Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark? Because they know they can't get him back, so they basically brought in a surrogate of him to dunk on by making fun of him the whole time. Could that be it? You know, the character that sacrificed his own life. You know, that guy. In the show's trailer, She-Hulk even joked about how the Avengers boast personalities that aren't as enjoyable or similar to Tony's, meaning she'll be on the lookout for even more when she's not fighting and interacting with supervillains. Fans have to wait to see how much more of the dating plotline has an impact on the story. Oh, I hope it's all about it. I hope the entire show is about her dating life. And I really hope that there's absolutely tons and tons of time dedicated to incel culture. You can see Stefan highlighting this. Yeah, this is totally selling me the She-Hulk show. You can see, stop giving me more reasons not to watch this. So they're telling me it's not for me, right? Duly noted. Jesus, these writers. I love how unfair views can only be aimed at women. And also, can't wait for She-Hulk to be described as having BDE. I mean, it's going to be hilarious. This is going to be a cringe fest. I can sense it. They're touting it as a comedy. And it's going to be about as funny as an SNL sketch or the Jimmy Kimmel show. I mean, I love constant virtue signaling about misogyny and how women are getting held back, especially on TV shows with women as the lead role getting the biggest check, too. That always hits home.
And next up today, director busted begging for positive reviews after Amazon's woke A League of Their Own roasted.
This weekend marked the premiere of the woke reimagining of A League of Their Own, a literal reimagining that focused on sweet, hot, girl-on-girl action, CGI baseballs, apparently they couldn't find anyone to throw them, and more representation. Of course, when you focus on these things, your show in general sucks, and the reviews were coming in from A League of Their Own, from viewers, that it was terrible. Of course, this led to a blaming of the viewers, but I dug a little deeper, and I found, well, there's a little pro review brigade going on, led by, that's right, the showrunner themselves out here on Twitter begging people to go leave 10 star reviews or 5 star reviews for A League of Their Own. And it's absolutely pathetic, transparent, and most journalists continue to refuse to acknowledge that positive review brigading exists. Perhaps after this video the evidence will compel them to. I reported on A League of Their Own a few days ago, and the audience score was in the 50% range. Now that it's come out, it's reached a colossal 450 total ratings with a review score of 78%. That's quite the jump. And then if you look at IMDb in particular, which is what Amazon seems to feed in to their show reviews, what a coinky dink! 3,269 people rushed in and gave the show a perfect 10 out of 10. Now, I've seen the first couple of episodes of the show. It is not a perfect 10 out of 10 show. It's not even a 9, 8, or 7 out of 10 show. It's rightfully scored somewhere in the 5s or 6s, as it's just another woke trash, weird romance show. But where did all these random 10 out of 10 scores come from, you might be asking? Well, what if I showed you that there are numerous quote-unquote stan accounts demanding positive reviews, and when I called them out, they immediately deleted it. This account, Max Chapman stan 5 hours ago. Look, if you've watched League of Their Own and enjoyed it, give it a positive rating. People are trolling it because of the diversity and queerness, which is heartbreaking. Evidence, trust me, bro. This is one of the most beautifully done shows I've ever seen, and there's lots of myself in these characters, and this had gotten hundreds and hundreds of retweets. I quote tweeted it, and minutes later, they deleted it. I quote tweeted it saying, "This is yet another example of the positive review brigade that journalists seem to always ignore. These are driven by what appear to be, quote, stan accounts, which are mostly bots." Meaning there's just tons and tons of interaction, likes and retweets and robotic, the same kind of anime, you know, fake accounts and all this kind of stuff. So it was really weird to see. And then, my friends, we have this tweet from Will Graham. Now, might be, you know, interesting to point out who Will Graham really is. Well, he is the showrunner, writer, and director of Mozart in the Jungle, A League of Their Own, Daisy Jones and the Six, and he's also queer and proud. Okay, not sure that has to do with anything with writing a good show, but you do you, friend. And you see a lot of weird, you know, standing for his own show, which makes total sense. I mean, I'm not gonna dump on the guy for, you know, wanting his own show to succeed. I just think it's pretty interesting. Then he also writes here, this is on August 13th, before anyone's even seen the show, okay, I thought this was pretty interesting, or late Friday, very few people had seen it. To everyone enjoying League on Prime, not the biggest deal, but we're predictably getting trolled hard on Amazon customer reviews. And by the way, let me point out, in order to review a show on Amazon, you must watch it. Meaning the reviews are people that are watching the show and disliking it. But the showrunner, Queer and Proud, is saying that they're getting trolled on customer reviews, Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, etc. If you have a minute and you feel like it, go drop in a review. And regardless, thanks for watching. That'd be like if I said, hey, if you happen to be watching this video and you think League of Their Own sucks, you should take a minute or two to head on over to IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, and Amazon and give it 1 star. Like, that's literally what this guy's doing. Imploring people to go, right? And then you see, let's go do this, fam. I mean, no actual examples of, you know, people quote unquote trolling, just saying that it's trolls. You see, people get woke, go broke. I believe I predicted this. I said, enjoy the bad reviews. Apparently, the showrunner is not enjoying what was inevitably the result of ruining a classic movie with a woke reimagining. There you go, Megan Fox. Good for you. Award-winning journalist. I was like, I think I follow her. I do follow her. Okay. Here's me. You're predicting getting trolled. First, people have to give a crap. Second, good job calling everyone racist. Well done. I mean, you see, like I wrote, holy moly, the showrunner is out here begging for positive reviews. So the quote male's demo is predictable, but I wonder if the female's 45 to plus demo is a result is because the show made them realize now they're gay and now they're mad that they wasted half their life on males. Why are all these like weird stan accounts exactly the same? You know what I mean? Like why it's like you get that they're like pandering to you, right? That they're just baiting you to get you to like watch their show and consume their product. They don't actually like really care. Like they say, look at this, phobic racists are trying to tank the show because there are lesbians on the team. Where's that review? Where are the reviews that say that? It has a 78% positive review. Now, I mean, if you watch A League of Their Own and you so see fit, you know, definitely go let Rotten Tomatoes know that you think the show stunk. Like, they're doing the exact same thing that these stupid critics are always pretending don't exist. I've said this for years. And then these weird Stan accounts that also do their shilling. I wouldn't doubt it if they're also owned by like Amazon or some marketing firm that they hire so that they can have plausible deniability. Like, that's what's going on here. Like, these reviews are probably all bunk. When you have the showrunner out here, yeah, out of a total of 5,000 total votes, 3,300 of them think the show is a perfect 10 out of 10. That's as ridiculous as 576 of them saying it's a 1 out of 10. Most shows, very few shows in history are 10 out of 10, maybe 2 or 3. And that's usually only if you view them a season at a time, because most people don't have perfect seasons and then stick the landing. And very few shows are truly ones. I mean, they exist. I'm not going to pretend that they don't, but very few are ones. So when critics always talk about, review beginning me, they never talk about this, and they're doing it right out there in front of us, aren't they? They're doing it right out here in front of us. A league of their own, a bold swing that partly misses. Amazon's well-meaning revisionist A League of Their Own falls short of a home run. And by the way, you know, just to point out that, like, look, I don't have any issue that there's more representation in the movie, but you see, friends and co-creators of the Amazon drama ordered the series Thursday after 2 years in development, met with scores of surviving members of the All-American Girls Professional League, which is what the A League of Their Own was based on. Well, I don't know if you knew this, but it's pretty easy to research it. There were no black players in the All-American Girls Professional League. In fact, segregation was still alive and well in Major League Baseball, I believe, at that very same time. So it's not even historically accurate. So you're just like, you know, let's just do this for reasons. So, I mean, any idiot could do the research. Like the male major league, the girls' league was also informally segregated, thus no African Americans were recruited or hired. Women were selected for their skill play, but the player also needed to fit what was seen by marketers as a wholesome feminine ideal. The first league game was played back in 1943. I mean, again, if they're not representing the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, then it doesn't matter whatsoever. But if they are, then they're just, of course, reimagining it.
And last up, Chris Pratt blasted for daring to help a woman.
Well, we all know that any chance whatsoever Twitter gets to dig at or rip on Chris Pratt, they're going to take it. Even if the article in and of itself is talking about how Chris Pratt went out of his way to make sure that his relatively unknown co-star, Bryce Dallas Howard, from the Jurassic World movies, got equal pay, even though she's a relative, again, nobody, an entirely interchangeable part that sold zero tickets. Nobody went to go see Jurassic Park, Jurassic World for Bryce Dallas Howard, maybe three of them. Chris Pratt, being the hottest thing in Hollywood, however, is now getting all sorts of flack for daring to command more money. What if I told you that Chris Pratt also starred in a wide variety of movies in which the female co-star of the movie made millions of dollars more than he did? I'm sure you would be shocked to find out that Jennifer Lawrence was paid $8 million more than Chris Pratt for Passengers, and they were co-stars in that film. See Sean Fitzgerald retweeting this massive, like, it's all over Twitter today. Bryce Dallas Howard, I made so much less money than Chris Pratt on Jurassic World sequels, but he fought for pay equity. Sean writes, new headline, interchangeable redhead who can't negotiate very well upset the guy who signed on to Jurassic World when he was the hottest thing in Hollywood, got paid more. And of course, these comments are full of, cope and hate for Chris. You could see, except he didn't do that much. Awesome. She got a decent cut of any money from theme park rides. It's like saying, I know I made three times as much as you, but if I made you another 25 cents, you want to do something? Give up your pay to make it more equitable. Why? It's like these people, and this is like, How stupid are you? There is some sense. I adore Bryce Dallas Howard, but he's a much bigger box office draw than her. I'm not saying the industry probably can't do a better job with equity, but these two really aren't even in the same tier when it comes to star status. Wrong. And then he's, I get what you're saying, but I think it's wrong. Bryce has been in many successful films and deserves equal pay for equal work. Can't name one myself. Can you? That's not Jurassic Park or World. You see, the bigger name gets the bigger check. That's usually how it works. For example, I don't expect to get the same as my boss or owner of the company. And you see the like communist copes. That's because you believe you've grown up and accepted the deception of capitalism status quo. What? What? The way the internet talks about Chris Pratt compared to the people who work with him is wild. I don't understand how or why these articles omit that Ron Howard factor or the current slash future projects he and Pratt have together. The left is full of hate. I don't get it. You see, it makes sense to me. She's kind of a zero in these movies, easily replaceable and or written out. Whereas he's an actual draw, all buff and wrangling dinosaurs. That's what a whammon said that. He's the main star. He should be getting paid more. Isn't that the point? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what? The cope is insane. Like, they're saying that, like, in spite of him helping her out, that's still not good enough because I hate Chris Pratt. And I think that everyone should just make the same money, even though that's just not the reality. But if it was Jurassic World starring Bryce Dallas Howard, I'd be willing to bet you it would make a fraction. Report surfaced in 2018 that Bryce Dallas Howard was making $8 million, oh no, to Chris Pratt's $10 million. Oh no! She only made $8 million. And the fact that she sells zero tickets compared to Chris Pratt. Now, the dinosaurs probably sell more tickets than both of them. But get real. It's not like it was $10 million to one. But Howard revealed in a new interview with Insider that she was actually being paid so much less on Jurassic World sequels compared to her male co-star. Howard did not reveal the dollar amount, but she did stress that Pratt worked to correct the situation by ensuring she had pay parity on other Jurassic World properties, such as video games and theme park rides. These reports are so interesting because I was getting paid so much less than reports even said. So much less, Howard said. When I started negotiating for Jurassic, it was 2014, and it was a different world, and I was at a great disadvantage. And unfortunately, you have to sign up for 3 movies and your deals are set. Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm sure it was difficult being forced to take that optional role. I'm sure that it really sucked making millions of dollars. Being forced to make millions of dollars. I'm sorry. You know, what's funny to me is if I was going to look up, Bryce Dallas, whatever, Bryce Dallas Howard net worth. Let's see what that is. Current net worth, $15 to $20 million. Okay. Pardon me while I take a moment to cry. Howard continued, what I will say is Chris and I have discussed it. And whenever there was an opportunity to move the needle on stuff that hadn't already been negotiated, like a game or a ride, he literally told me, you guys don't even have to do anything. I'm going to do all the negotiating. We're going to be paid the same, and you don't even have to think about this, Bryce. I loved him so much for doing that, Howard concluded. I really do, because I've been paid more for these kinds of things than I ever was before in the movie. So, W? So Chris Pratt is a feminist icon fighting for equal pay? Where was this? You could see she got $20 million and he got $12 million. That's an $8 million difference. This means this is Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. Pratt was paid just 60% of what Jennifer Lawrence was. If 40% isn't a significant difference to you, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on that. Like, this is such a non-story. Like, it's such a ridiculous story that, like, what great disadvantage. You literally took an optional job. You negotiated the contract. You could have walked away from it at any time. I saw this movie. No one should be. Oh, yeah. Ron Howard's daughter. A little nepotism there. Yeah, that's interesting, too. Isn't that interesting? Well, yes, but she's not, because she's not Chris Pratt. If you had asked me about Bryce Dallas, whatever her name was, before this article, I wouldn't have had any clue. Well, you think I'm going to put Bryce Dallas Howard in the title of this video? No, because nobody knows who it is. Yet she's still worth $15 to $20 million. And the hilarity of all this is, like, still, this is like worldwide trending news. What? That big star makes a little bit more money than much smaller star? I don't get it. Like, and Chris Pratt even, like, tweeted out, like, tried to tweet out some positive video. You could see Chris Pratt say, here's what we see versus what you guys see. Bryce, I'll save you from an imaginary dinosaur any day. Yeah, it was a tweet out, like, some CGI work or whatever. I don't even understand. Jurassic World retweets it. They all made way too much money for these movies that all stunk. I mean, I love Jurassic Park, and I'm not going to say they're not a good popcorn flick, but man alive, I wanted so much better for the Jurassic Park series and Jurassic Park universe. And it's just, it's funny when you, like, of course, Bryce Dallas Howard, first thing in her bio, pronouns. You know, I think the thing is, like, the funny thing when you think about Jurassic Park, the Jurassic Park series, and, like, rating them, like, which one's from best to worst or whatever, and you realize that, like, the best Jurassic Park movie ever made was the first Jurassic Park movie ever made, it's a little telling. Like, it's just been a cash grab ever since, and they've never bothered to make it any better. Now, I like the revival that Chris Pratt brought to it, but, like, let's not act like Bryce Dallas Howard is some sort of victim here. She negotiated the contract. She's got tons of friends in Hollywood. She could have made all she wanted. Like, this isn't even necessarily her complaining, but it's her mentioning it. And of course, the media, any chance they get to rip on Chris Pratt, they're going to do it. And it's really pathetic. Twitter is just full of vile, hateful people. And I find myself spending a lot less time on it these days for, I would say, for the foreseeable future. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, Twitter is just a flaming dumpster fire of hate. And I don't know. We just saw a Tom Holland, Spider-Man actor, come out today and say, like, he's off social media now because it's just so toxic. Chris Pratt is a good guy. People just can't stand that. And the idea that he's out there doing the best he can for people and they still find a reason to hate him is exactly why so many people like him. It's exactly why The Terminal List does so good. It's exactly why all his Amazon projects do so good. It's because people see the good stuff he does and like him. It's just these cope and seethe losers on Twitter that can't seem to accept it. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.